Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode.
And then he was telling me about his pre-race diet, and it sounded absolutely awful, to be honest. He was like, so what do you get? He's, oh, I just buy a huge box of Krispy Kremes and nail them all.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plod, and here's your host, Jake Lowe.
It's the Running with Jake podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lowe. This is the place for your weekly dose of running motivation. And if ever we need another big injection of motivation, particularly where running's concerned, I think it is now. We know that every day we're hearing more news about various race events, these races that we're desperate to take part in. We're all keeping our fingers and toes crossed that they'll go ahead. And we're hearing that races are slowly and surely being cancelled. The Great North Run, the latest one to be added to that long list of races that have been deferred. This has been cancelled. It's now been pushed to next year. This year is a complete write-off. And you know, we spoke to a race organiser, Kane, last week, who runs the Hairy Helmet Relay Series. Great set of events in the East Midlands. And he predicted this. He said, look, we asked him the question, do you think these events will go ahead, all these big marathons that have been deferred, these big races? And he said he just doesn't see how they can, as a race organizer, from his perspective, how they can go ahead. And it looks like he might well be right. But I think there's a silver lining in this. And of course, this is your weekly dose of running motivation. We try and reframe things in a positive light. We know that running can be very stressful. We know that we can put lots of pressure on ourselves. And I think there's a real opportunity here, which we've touched on before on the show.
Sure. I mean, to be fair, if ever there's a silver lining, you'll find it. I mean, you'll search through all the crap to find a silver lining. Oh, I found one. I found one here.
And this one's easy for me today. I didn't even have to Google a silver lining for this one.
Oh,
look,
good.
So many runners will set what they believe are long-term goals, and I've done it myself, where you think this is a long-term goal, and it really isn't. It's a short-term goal or a medium-term goal at best, whereas now we've been given this opportunity where it's looking like this year will be completely written off. I'm not saying it will be. I don't know any more than you listening to the show right now, but the feeling is these races are dropping like flies. It's not going to stop us running. It doesn't stop us lacing up, but actually it gives us an opportunity to really look at our training, take a step back and say, right, what can I do differently? Pete, you know this. You've recently started running, you're doing the caps for 5k, you're doing awesome, you're starting to feel, I sense, a little bit more like a runner, which is a really positive thing, making really good steps forward.
Do you know, funnily enough, I've been doing it for long enough now, and this, I realised this yesterday when I was out, that I can now run past people, whether it's other runners or whether it's just people on the street, and I'm generally really self-conscious, and I always have been, of doing anything physical, because I'm not a physical type. This has always been my thought. But I was dead conscious yesterday of actually running past people and not feeling like I was out of place. And that, I've never felt like that before, so that's a big breakthrough for me.
Well, I said recently to one of my runners, we can be our own worst critics. I would never put pressure on somebody else, because I feel that they put enough pressure on themselves. You know, we all do. The inner critic inside of us that, oh, well, you're not really good enough to be doing this. You know, you should be faster. This wasn't as good as last week's session. You know, and all that sort of inner voice that goes on, that inner dialogue. And I don't think we should be putting, or I should be putting pressure on other people. It's about stripping it off. And what you're doing is awesome, but I noticed, you know, from some of the messages that we've exchanged recently, a little bit of a twinge in the knee. You've started to speak a little bit about issues with the neck and feeling comfortable in the physical body, not just the running, because you proved to yourself that you can run now. And I've always said that running isn't just about running. If you want to run well, it's about the other things that surround running. But of course, when we take up the sport, we're focused on achieving 5k, we're focused on running a half marathon to raise money for a charity, we're focused on that end goal. We don't often think about the strength work, we don't think about improving our mobility, improving our movement skill, improving our flexibility, and all these things help us to run well and keep those injuries at bay. And I think now is a prime opportunity to focus on those. I really do.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Please use your podcast app to rate and review us.
Ben, nice to have you back on the show. You're a friend of the show. You're like you're the podcast equivalent of the next door neighbour. This is good. I like it. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, buddy. I like friend of the show.
You are friend of the
show. I'm a fan of that.
It's true. This is all good.
I'm a fan of that.
This is all good.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, thank you. You don't want to worry about me, though. I've not got a bonkers challenge coming up. I mean, we had you on the show before. to those listeners that have missed that episode, you must go back and check it out. Because, you know, doing some epic stuff. Obviously, the host of the podcast as well. People doing extraordinary stuff. Why in the world? What are you doing at the moment? What's going on next Friday? Tell me.
Basically, through lockdown, I was still training for the Outlaw, which is actually down your neck of the woods, isn't it? At Home Pier Point.
It is, yeah, yeah. Man.
And so that was kind of my 2020 goal, if you will. And like a load of people, loads of races have been cancelled, and eventually that got cancelled as well. So last year I did something called Racecourse 100, which was 100 miles around Chester Racecourse over 3 days. And since then I kind of thought, I wonder if I could do 100 miles in 24 hours. So I was looking for something to do, and I had kind of this fitness built up for Ironman prep that I was doing. So when this kind of opportunity came around to do something for the charity At Work Global to make some noise, I decided that maybe I try and do that 100 miles in 24 hours. So essentially what I'm going to be doing is running for 24 hours around a 400 meter grass athletics track to see how many miles I can do. I'm going for 100. Like, I want over 100. That's what I want. So hopefully we'll get to that three-digit number.
I mean, fingers crossed. That's equally crazy and awesome. And obviously, we touched on the Racecourse 100 last time you were on the show, which was bonkers enough. How big's the racecourse in Chester? I used to live in Chester, as you know. How big is it? Is it a mile or more?
About 1.1. So to be honest, I've done a lot of training down there for this, and I think it's going to be very mentally challenging as well as physically challenging, and that's kind of what we wanted, because we wanted something that was as mentally challenging as physically challenging. So that's kind of why we came up with the 400 meter track, because going round and round and round in circles is going to be an utter nightmare, I would say.
This is one of the reasons I wanted to get you back on, Ben, to chat to you about this, and it is exactly what you touched on, the mental side. I mean, you know from speaking to you before that we're quite big on that. We use running on this show as a vehicle to get people feeling better, you know, weekly dose of running motivation. But ultimately, it's about getting people feeling better mentally. And it's such a head game, isn't it? And we know boredom is a state of mind rather than, I guess, a physical situation. It's not necessarily directly linked to environment. If you can go somewhere else in your mind, just how hard is it going to be to run 400 meters over and over and over again, and where do you go in your mind when you're doing the training for this type of challenge? What do you think about? Do you have some techniques and things that you focus on to get you through it?
I suppose I'll split that down into a couple of questions, really. Like, the first question was, where am I going to go, or where will I go? I don't know, mate, is the honest answer. And I think that's kind of part of the challenge in this challenge itself, is I've not run around a 400 meter track since school, probably. Like, I don't really do any track training. I haven't done track training for ages. And because kind of the logistics around this challenge only really got nailed down last week, I haven't been able to run around a track. So I think the first time I'm going to run a lap of a 400 meter track is probably going to be the start of the challenge.
Wow.
That's not ideal, because I've not done any training, but at the same time, I kind of think that when I'm there and I've started, there's no backing out of it, and there's no worry. Sometimes when you go and do like a recce of a route or whatever, you might start doubting yourself. You might think, oh, this is bad. I don't like this part of the course. Why have I signed up for this? Well, when I'm down there next Friday morning, I haven't got a choice. I'm going to use a few different things that I've used in the past with different ultra races, and particularly, like, I am going to draw on some of the stuff from Racecourse 100 last year, because that's the closest thing that I've done to this. So I'm going to start, and I'm not going to listen to any music. I'm probably going to get the first marathon out of the way before I listen to any music or any podcasts or anything like that, because I want to have like a change in environment. So the weather's going to be changing around me, the day's going to be changing around me, but I need to kind of change other things around me as well. And if I listen to music or I listen to a podcast straight away, then I feel like that's probably not a good idea. It's going to be so difficult, and there are so many different elements to this challenge. The fact that, you know, in my head I want to do 100 miles, but what, this sounds a bit crazy, but what happens if I do get to 100 miles before the 24 hours? Like, you'll have experienced this as well, mate. Like, in training, if you set a training goal, when you get over that training goal, a lot of the time your legs for some reason just stop working. You're like, what is going on here? Why? What? Because you've set that kind of goal in your head. So my goal's 100 miles, but the challenge is a 24-hour challenge. So I am going to be going for 24 hours even if I get over 100 miles. And of course, the other thing is pacing and kind of working out exactly how I'm going to pace it. And again, like, I've got what I want to do, but if I'm going to be overexcited and go off too hard, or, you know, there's so many different variables to it. And I think it's really going to be a case, a lot of it, of kind of doing it on the fly a little bit, which is quite scary, but also at the same time pretty exciting, I think.
I want to pick up on something you said and then talk about logistics as well, because I'm really interested to know the sort of technical elements that is going to go into this challenge on Friday. I love what you said there about not using music straight away or the podcast, because you almost need to just save that. You need to bank that stuff, because it's shifting. I think you said change. You need to change something. Obviously, yeah. You can't change the environment as such. You've got a toolbox there, haven't you? And you just need to dip in and out of that depending on what you need at any given moment to, I guess, stimulate the mind. In terms of logistics then, I mean, you've not ran around a running track since, you know, years, as you say. Do you know which lane you're going to run in? Are you going to alternate the direction that you run in, you know, from an injury perspective, to make sure you're not loading one leg more than the other? Have you thought about this?
In terms of the lanes, I think I probably will use all of the lanes at some point. It's something that I'm able to change. I know it sounds so stupid.
I think you can take all the lanes, Ben. Nobody else is going to be joining you in this. This is just you, fella. You've got the track
exactly.
to yourself.
Exactly. I know it sounds so daft, like changing a lane, but if you're doing something for that amount of time around a track, then just even moving to the right or to the left one lane is going to be something a little bit different, even if it's only like half a foot. The plan in terms of the direction, I've actually experienced this at the race course as well, because again, even though it is a 1.1 mile, it's, you do feel it when you're going around the same way, particularly on the outside of your hips or whatever, or that's where I get it anyway, some sort of basically tension, just because you're just pushing off one foot way more than the other. So I was doing 6 miles one way, 6 miles the other way at the race course, which essentially was like 5.5 laps one way, 5.5 laps the other way. With this, I think the idea is to do 5 miles one way, 5 miles the other way. And just, I don't want to flick-flack too quickly between it. Because it just becomes a bit annoying more than anything, and you can't get your rhythm. If I can do 5 mile, and then hopefully that'll help my pacing as well, because what I'm looking to do probably is 5 mile an hour to start with. I think I'm probably going to end up going out a little bit faster, because I'm not very good at just telling myself to chill out right at the start. And then when that 5 mile's done, / when that hour's done, I can turn around and go around the other way for a little bit.
Where is the track? You mentioned it's a grass track. Where is it?
It's actually at a school up here in Chester. They hadn't actually had the track printed on the field. I mean, I drive past it every day on the way to work. So like, I'm looking every time I'm driving past, like, has the track been done yet? Has the grass been cut? Because I haven't even run on the surface. But I know it's a flat grass surface, and it's a very good surface as well. I have been on the surface.
When I train for a marathon, as I get closer to the day, I go a bit crazy. I go a bit marathon mad. And anybody would think I'm chasing twisters across America. I'm like on weather watch, you know, 20 days out. I'm looking for the most favourable weather report to see what the weather's going to be like on the day. We're 7 days out now. We're recording this on a Friday. You've got 7 days to go. Have you been keeping your eye on the weather? How are conditions looking at the moment?
Oh, mate, I've been 20-day forecasts, 25-day forecasts. I've been 22 degrees at the moment.
Oh, nice. You won't need a car, do you? You'll be all
right. Maybe even a little bit warm. But if it's around sort of the 18 to 22 mark at peak, that'll be okay. I don't think I'd want it to be any hotter than that.
What are you going to do for fueling, Ben? Have you got some go-to sources? I mean, it's a long time, isn't it?
Eat everything. Eat everything. I will be just taking on quite a lot of carb drinks. I will be using gels as well, but also I'll be trying to eat some sort of solid food. I did a ultra in Chester actually in February, the end of February, and we went and bought this just massive wrap platter from Costco, and just at aid stations and things, my parents were up at the time, and they were kind of driving round, and there was this spread in the boot. It was class. So I think just buy as much as we can, because I'm going to have cravings through something like this for different things. And I'm very lucky in terms of having a fairly good stomach, touch wood. So I'm not, I don't tend to get cramp or anything like that. But for me, I think the main thing is just to make sure that I'm taking on enough carbs. But I'm also, the hydration for me is key, because I've got quite a high sweat rate, so I'm quite susceptible to getting quite dehydrated. So I need to make sure that I am staying as hydrated as possible. The beauty of the 400 meter track is that even if one of the crew, I say the crew, there's going to be like two people, say to me, like, see that I'm looking a bit bad or a bit sucked in or whatever, they can say, look, Ben, come on, you need some water. Whereas on an ultra, you know, you're away for anything between 6 to 12 miles between aid stations, really. So you kind of, it's a bit more difficult to judge, I think.
It's nice that you've got obviously that support, and as you say, for safety reasons, and absolutely right, you there's not going to be a massive crew there, but yeah, it's good to have a little bit of support running around the track there. Obviously, you've not got to provide for yourself, it's all going to be there, you've not got to carry it. I'm sure there's people listening to this show now thinking, probably out on their long run, thinking, man, he mentioned gels, he's running for 24 hours around a track. I mean, the thought of gels, because they get a bit of a bad rep, I think. Have you ever tried baby food?
I've not. Do you advise I invest in some?
No. Well, look, here's the deal. I spoke to a friend of mine the other day, and he's a big ultra runner. He does lots of stuff in Spain, and I've never done an ultra. And I was chatting to him about stuff. Yeah, well, who knows? Let's see. But he was talking about baby food, just to vary things a little bit. And he got this from a few other ultra runners and stuff. And because his basic opinion is, you know, if it's for babies, if you're good enough for babies, there's going to be no bad stuff in there, which is a good point. So he stocks up on that stuff just to get proper food in.
I think people worry about kind of digestion and stuff like that. And you can get through a marathon with carb drinks, or even not taking on anything but water if you really want to. Like, if your training's correct and you know you're fit enough to do it, and you know you've trained your body to get through that distance at a pace without any fuel, as long as you're hydrated enough, you can do that. With something like this, there is no way that I can get through this without fuel. And I know, and I'm very lucky, that my body does tend to process things fairly well. So I can eat solid food and not get bad cramp or get a really bad stomach. Or you hear most of the time, if an ultra marathon runner is talking about bonking, or, you know, like, there's that word again, Pete, that I remember last time you were laughing at word.
He has a chuckle.
I always like to laugh about that.
A lot of ultra marathon runners complain about their stomachs, because they can't, you know, they're getting cramps and they can't hold anything down. And then if that goes wrong, then we talk about that mental game again. If something in your stomach's hurting, then your head goes, and then your head goes, and your head's telling you that your legs are going, and then your legs aren't really going, you're all right. But because your head's saying your legs are going, then your legs are going, and it's just, it begins this vicious circle. So it's going to be such a key element of it, I think, nutrition. I was actually speaking to a friend of mine who ran the Moab 240. It was a 240 mile race out in Utah. He was the first Welshman to do it last year. He said, mate, have something to look forward to. Like, at 9 o'clock, try and get a big feed. And I was like, what do you mean, like a big feed? He was like, burger, pizza, just get as many calories in you as you can and have something to look forward to. I was like, okay. And then he was telling me about his pre-race diet, and it sounded absolutely awful, to be honest. He was like, I was like, what do you get? He's, oh, I just buy a huge box of Krispy Kremes and nail them all. I was like, is that really sensible?
Ben, do you know, I mean, this whole thing, I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, it sounds absolutely brilliant, but how about we update it right now and just agree to make it an eating challenge instead?
Yeah, one lap, one Krispy Kreme. That's what it should be.
Yes! This is, now you're talking my language. Do you know one thing that I thought whilst listening, and you'll have to excuse me because I'm not a running guy at all, and have you thought about, or do you know how, you know, like the actual track and the way in which it's marked out, and you're going to be looking at lines the whole time, aren't you? Is that going to affect you?
It will help in some ways in terms of getting into a flow kind of that flow state that runners talk about all the time, which does exist, that will help. And I have, again, drawing back to Racecourse 100, which I know is very different to this, but when I was running around the racecourse, and as I said, I've done a lot of training down there for this, you've got the actual running track is about a metre wide, and either side of you, you've got white barriers. So actually, you're in the same kind of, you're seeing the same thing around and around and around. And that's kind of annoying because it's constantly in your peripheral as well. You can't get away from that white barrier. So with this, at least it's on the floor and I can kind of look around. I'm going to know where I'm going pretty well. And there was a debate between whether do we have just like a single lane or do we go for like a full laned track, which we've gone for now. The one reason why we're having to have that full track is basically because of the night time. But I am slightly worried about, not necessarily during the challenge, but after the challenge, what my head is going to be like having run around that for 24 hours and seeing the same thing for 24 hours.
Tell me about footwear, because I'm sure people are quite interested to know. What's your chosen footwear? What are you going to wear next Friday?
I'm not entirely sure, but I probably will have to size up at some point. So the likelihood is my feet are going to swell, probably fairly badly, I would imagine, by the end of it. So I've got a pair of Brooks trail shoes, which I really, really like, which are slightly bigger than my normal trail shoes, which are Hoka. So I'll be probably wearing them to start. The debate between trail and road shoes is something that I'm still having. I've got a pair of Hoka road shoes as well, which I, again, really, really like. So I don't know whether I'm going to wear the road shoes or the trail shoes. The trail shoes just have a bit more support, so I think I may go for them. But again, the beauty of it being 400 meters is if I have to change, I can change. I don't have to carry anything on my back or anything like that. I will probably just take like six pairs of trainers down with me and just make sure that I'm comfortable and I'm not thinking about them too much. I think if I'm thinking about what's on my feet, I'm probably wearing the wrong shoes.
I love the fact that you've got this flexible attitude going into this challenge as well, Ben, because so many people want, of all levels, by the way, recreational level and upwards, even people that are just starting out in the sport, we all want to know, if we do this, will we achieve this? So if I follow this training plan, and if I wear these shoes, and if I arrive and run this course on this day, will I achieve this time? Of course, there's weather, there's how you feel, there's issues and obstacles in training, there's so many variables, which is a word that you keep using. And I love this flexible attitude you've got, and something that really struck a chord with me that you mentioned very early on in this chat is about the, I don't think you use the word anxiety, but I think that's what you were referring to, about if driving past and thinking, man, have they painted this track yet? Or going out and actually running part of a course of a race that you're going to do that's upcoming, you might start to fear it a little bit more, that anxiety. But once you get to Friday morning, it's game on, man. That's what you're there to do, isn't it? So you just crack on.
Exactly. I think people are scared of anxiety when it comes to races a lot of the time. Like, you know, it's the famous phrase, if you're not nervous, then you're probably doing something wrong. I know that I'm fit enough to do it because I've put myself through it, and hopefully I go out and blow it out of the water next week. But there will be a time where I'm in a very, very bad place. I wrote something on Facebook the other day, actually, and again, someone from Notts, who was in a tri club when I was in uni in Trent, and he wrote a little comment on it. I said, I think I'm gonna have to visit another part of the pain cave that I've never been to before. Because he was like, oh yeah, you're gonna get deep in that pain cave. And I said, yeah, I'm gonna have to visit a new part of it. And he then replied, you're gonna have to go to the doom room, which is something I've never heard before, but something that I love. And I think that's probably gonna be the case. Like, the night's gonna be horrendous, but it's just gonna be something that I've got to get through, and something I always tell myself, whether it be in training, whether it be in a race, this will be over. So I'm only doing this now. At some point, this is going to finish. I am going to be in bed this time tomorrow, or I am going to be able to have a beer this time tomorrow. So it's just about trying to enjoy the moment, no matter how much pain you're in and no matter how hard you're finding it, because really you are privileged to be doing something like this. So get through it, and then we can focus on everything else after it.
Man, I think if we could all take something from that and apply that, that would help our experience of any event we take part in. Just being privileged to be there. We'd rather be there having a challenging race and actually not make it to the starting line because we've got injured in training. Ben, I think you're going to smash it. I have no doubt. You've got a great attitude. And, you know, we've spoken about reaching into that toolbox and ways that you can keep yourself motivated. We both know raising money for Globals, Make Some Noise emergency appeal, supporting small charities up and down the country that have been hit the hardest by the coronavirus. Where can people catch up with what you're doing? Where can they find you? And if they want to find out more about your the emergency appeal and raising money and help support you, where can they go?
Yeah, so my Instagram at BenShepherd93. There's all the links and everything up there, and we'll be posting everything on the day on there, on Twitter as well, at Ben Shepherd or at Capital NW.
Well, I can't wait to catch up with you after the event. We'll have to arrange a chat on the Saturday morning. Obviously, we won't keep you very long because you'll be doing a virtual park run to recover the legs, I'm sure, after running for 24 hours. But we will catch up with you, Ben. It's been awesome to have you on the show. I wish you all the luck in the world, brother. Go smash it.
Legend. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. And thanks for having me on again.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Get all the video content at runningwithjake.com/podcast.
That's PLODS. I can't spell. That's PLODCAST. And subscribe on iTunes and leave a review and send us cash in an envelope.
Got a running-related question? Then it's hashtag AskJake. And Teresa's messaged in. She wants to know if I've got any groundbreaking tips and answers and solutions for improving the quality of her sleep. She doesn't sleep particularly well. It's affecting her training, and she wants some suggestions. Do you know, sleep is such an important thing, isn't it? And I'm, in some respects, probably not the best person to ask, because over the years, Teresa, I've not had the greatest relationship with sleep. And I used to get paranoid about a lack of sleep, which didn't help in itself. But I'll throw three things at you that I think really help. They really work for me. The first one is something that we all know about, and that's phones. Now, they say don't check your phone, the sleep experts, late at night, and I think that's really important to adhere to that, and particularly with screen time in general, so computers, monitors, that kind of thing. But actually, what I tend to do is turn down the light on the phone very early on in the evening. So at the moment, it's very light through as we get into the summer months, late into the evening, and often the phone is just set to its normal brightness. Well, I turn that right down. I put it on nighttime mode very early in the evening. So if I do check the phone, at least I'm not being hit by that really bright white light, which can affect your sleep. The second thing is caffeine. It's an obvious one, isn't it? But what I do, I try to minimize my caffeine intake from midday. Now, I'll be honest, I'm quite partial to an afternoon coffee, but I switch to decaf. And I get up at 6 a.m, so I have coffee first thing in the morning. I might have another cup of tea a little bit later on, but then I will switch to decaf. And I really find that helps with undisturbed sleep. And the final thing is, if you do wake up, do not check the time. I wouldn't even have a clock that faces you in the bed so that you can see it, because what can happen if you wake up in the middle of the night, you check the time, and then you start to build up that pressure in your mind. Oh my gosh, I've got 2 hours left and I'm not asleep. I've got 1 hour left before I need to be up and I'm not asleep. And you can just almost self-sabotage your sleep by panicking about how long you've got left. So ignorance is bliss. I would strongly suggest that you don't look at the clock if you do wake up, and hopefully those three tips will help you to get a good night of sleep. Don't forget, if you've got a question, it's hashtag AskJake. That's a wrap. We're done. We're out of here. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you are running while listening to this, by the way, I hope those miles are just flying by. You'll be done before you know it. Don't forget to subscribe to the Running with Jake podcast and leave a lovely review, particularly on Apple Podcasts, if that's the platform that you use. Me and my non-running guy producer, Pete, will see you here next week for more Running with Jake podcast madness. Oh, and of course, one last thing. It is understandable if you let a bad run ruin your lunch. But don't let it spoil your dinner.